Hey, you scruffy-looking nerf herders. Welcome to Records of the Republic, a podcast where we talk about all things Star Wars, from canon to the EU to Legends content and more. We are your hosts, Wade and Kevin, and we're going to make the jump to light speed as we try to tackle today's topic of conversation with you. Strap yourself in and don't get cocky as we embark on this journey together into the Star Wars universe.
Hey guys, welcome back to Records of the Republic. As always, my name is Wade and I am one quarter portion of Records. Joined with me tonight is on rare form, we've got both Kevin and Alex. This is very exciting. Just missing Dylan. But I know Dylan's kind of our feedback guy, man. The minute our podcast drops, he's like listening to it and like giving us constant feedback, which is awesome. So Dylan, we really appreciate that. We need to plan an episode where you can have some quiet time to get on here with us. Guys, how are you doing? Alex, let's start with you. Anything going on in your life?
I'm good. And I'm going to say, I think I'm going to represent two quarter portions this evening. And I want to have Dylan's quarter portion responsibility tonight. We'll shift it around. Maybe one night he'll just pop out of the background of Kevin or I. Holmes, but no, things are good, man. Wrapping up a good weekend, you know, relaxed with some Star Wars. Actually got the Clone Wars on in the background right now, so yeah, all good things. No complaints.
Love hearing that. Kevin, what about you, man?
Things are good, man. I'm kind of tired today. We went to a concert last night, got in super late, but things are going well. How about you, Wade?
I'm floating on cloud nine as of Friday. I officially accepted a position with Bricks and Minifigs. So for
what?
Penny and I talked. We took the week to kind of talk about it and, you know, start looking at jobs and housing and stuff like that and daycares. And so I officially took the position as a general
Congratulations.
Manager. Thank you.
This is news to us, man.
I'm so excited to not be doing pest control. And for not only that, like I was excited to get out of this career field to begin with, but even more so jumping over to something that I really, really, really love with Legos. It's one of those opportunities where a dream job really does become realistic and possible. So I'm super excited. Got a lot of things going on, a lot of planning, a lot of packing to start doing, all that fun stuff that goes in with the move. But man, life is good right now. That's all I can say. I'm just so stoked.
What are you the most excited about?
Legos.
What do you want me to say?
That's a wrap, folks. Great interview.
I mean, realistically, like it's interesting. Like I've taken Gene a couple of times to the Bricks and Minifigs in Raleigh that just opened up, and this last time especially, he sat there for 45 minutes in the minifigure bin, just having a blast putting together different minifigures. And that's where it really hit me, where I was like, yeah, this is really what I want to do. Like seeing the joy and the excitement of all the different, and that's just with the minifigures. That's not talking about all the different possibilities out there for building. That's when it really sank in that like, man, I could be living like this feeling. Now, obviously any job's got its downsides at times, especially as a manager, but the idea that I mean, no one's going to come into a Lego store upset for the most part. You know, people are coming to a Lego store to buy something that they want to build, whether it's for themselves, for their kids, with their kids, grandkids, whatever it is, they're usually coming in, you know, with a happy heart. And so I'm just, but seeing Gene there with the minifigs really, really settled it for me, where it was like, yeah, this is exactly where I want to be. having access to Lego sets that are no longer available on shelves that I might be able to get, you know, at a discounted price. That's obviously a perk.
Give me.
Yeah. I told the owner, I was like, you know, it's going to be really bad if I'm our best customer. And he said, yeah, I really hope you're not our best customer. But, you know, we'll see. I don't think I will be. I definitely will be. We've just got so many ideas, and, you know, they went and proposed this week, and I can't really say much more about it other than it went really well. Just because there's a lot of things that are coming out with this store that have not been introduced with a lot of other stores. And that's like me saying probably more than I should, but it's going to be awesome. But with that, it's going to be a lot of hands-on, just nonstop working for a while, just to get everything settled.
So wait, I got to tell you something.
Yes.
I got to tell you a story. And it's the purpose of the story is because it works into the idea that I think you're perfect for this position. Okay. Launching a new store, you know, you'll be active in the community, going to different events, trying to get people in the door. When we worked at the hotel together, it was, I don't remember the timing of it, but it was when, after you guys had made me assistant front desk manager.
Yeah.
And you were telling me, like, you wanted me to start going to, like, these events, Chamber of Commerce stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, is this guy serious? Like, we work at a hotel. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't get paid enough to be going to these events. Never went to one. but I know that you'll bring that energy to the store. And bring a lot of people in, have a presence in the community, and I think it's gonna be great for you.
Well, it's funny you say that, because Ron, one of my part-time jobs is I work for our buddy Ron that Kevin and I and Dylan went to college with, and I actually took a day off of work from my full-time job to go work a networking event for this other part-time company. I didn't get paid for it, but it was an event at Drive Shack, which is basically like a Top Golf, you know, fun driving range. And so, you know, I took the day off because I was like, when he originally asked me if I wanted to go, because we had been given a bay it was a tournament put on by the Better Business Bureau of North Carolina. So there were a bunch of local businesses and stuff like that. And he called me and was like, hey, do you want to go do this? And I was like, yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, let me see if I can. And he was like, well, I was kind of joking because I didn't think you'd want to take off. But if you want to, yeah. And I said, are you kidding me? I'm basically going and getting free food, hitting golf balls, and talking to people. Like, I can't ask for more, you know? And so we did it Friday, and it was a blast. I mean, it was so much fun going out. So yeah, networking and connecting with people, I love it. I love doing that kind of stuff. So running this store is going to be fun.
And that's where you and I are different, because you're like, yeah, let's do it. All the opportunities, send them my way. And I'm like, please God, I do not want to do this. Do not make me do this. Let me stay home. I'll talk to people on Twitter. I let me do that.
I'll dust the Lego boss.
It's going to be so much fun, man. I mean, it's going to be a hoot and a half. So
that's great.
That's pretty much all of the news I've got on my end. Gene's birthday is next weekend, so that's going to be fun. We've got a little party planned for him on Sunday, and Saturday is his actual birthday, so we'll be taking him to his favorite restaurants, Cracker Barrel and Chick-fil-A, which he actually calls neighborhood. So, or neighbors, that's what he says. And I don't know where he got that from, but anytime we ask him where he wants to go and he says neighbors, we know it's Chick-fil-A. So we'll be going there on Saturday, which will be a lot of fun.
He's
awesome. I mean, this kid is the best. I love my daughter. She doesn't seem to love me back, but Gene, mm-hmm. Gene loves me. He's crazy about me. So it works out well. Lynn likes Penny, and Gene likes me, and we each have one kid, and it works out great. So that's all the personal news I have. Star Wars news. We got a couple of things that have been leaked or, you know, released. We got some new clips from The Acolyte this past week, which has been pretty cool. We got to see Vernestra, I think I'm saying her name right, Vernestra Rose, Light Whip, which is a lightsaber modified so that the blade is actually a whip. And we got a little clip of that, which was pretty cool. And the other one that I really paid close attention to was Kel Naka, which is one of the Wookiee Jedi. And he was not only in the clip, but he was swinging around his lightsaber like in the middle of a fight. So not only are we seeing a live action Jedi Wookiee, but we're seeing him in action, which I am ecstatic. I mean, there's no way they're going to miss out on a Black Series figure. I'm keeping my fingers crossed because I'm just, there's no way. I cannot imagine them deciding not to. We haven't gotten Gungi. Still pretty upset about that. Buriaga, we haven't seen anything figure wise around him or really any of the High Republic characters, other than the Acolyte show itself. So I'm really hoping that like the second wave of Acolyte Black Series has Kel Naka in it. So that was it. Acolyte comes out. What date is it? June 4th. So we've got a couple weeks. That's not too long to wait. I think I can handle that. I just finished X-Men 97, which I was, you know, a little depressed about because the writing on that show has been phenomenal. So I think they will definitely be having more seasons of that. But and then we also, you guys sent this to me today, and we got a leaked Skeleton Crew collectible ingot. And it's got like different characters from the crew engraved into this ingot, including some sort of droid, which I haven't seen in any of the pictures or anything yet. So, but it looks kind of K2SO-esque, would you say? Would that like in the facial structure feature kind of, but definitely distinctively different. But that's the closest I can think of in terms of like some of the design on the face and the structure of it.
Yeah, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but I think with some of the leaks, like some of the trailer leaks from a way back, some image leaks and whatnot, there was talk of there being like a K2SO looking droid, but featuring some modifications. So, I mean, this would appear to be it. So that's kind of exciting. You know, I'm surprised there hasn't been anything like a Lego leak, anything like that, you know, because that normally you can kind of depend on. And weren't we expecting like the Lego sets to initially come out earlier in the year?
Yes, like in January. It was leaked last year that they had sets originally set to be released like in January. And then like we got radio silence from like then on about Skeleton Crew really as a whole up until they put it back in the release schedule. So we really haven't gotten much of anything leak wise in terms of, you know, toys or collectibles that we can get. But this ingot looks pretty cool. I'm not going to pre-order it, but when it does get released, I will buy it. And we do know, at least based on the previous leaks, that we do have Skeleton Crew Lego sets coming out. We just don't know when they're going to come out at this point. We know more just about like some of the, yeah. Well, the show I think was confirmed for December, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Based on the release schedule,
I still don't care about this show. There's nothing to care about.
You're killing me. Yeah, there nothing is.
To care about. This show it's is Star Wars. I'm gonna watch it for that reason, and I'm gonna enjoy it for that reason. But in terms of like excitement for Star Wars projects, I've never been less excited for one. Doesn't mean I'm not still excited. But this show is either going to be amazing, and that's why it's been so silent. Like, they're just radio silent because they're gearing up for a big one. Or the team's working on all this stuff. They don't even care about it.
They definitely care about it. I
wouldn't know it.
I think what they're doing right now is they're focusing show by show. You know, we've got the Acolyte now with a lot of stuff coming out.
Maybe.
And I think they're really honing in on that because it's High Republic and they've really been trying to push the High Republic era as like, hey, this is the next thing for Star Wars as a whole. But I think maybe. once Acolyte releases and they've had like a month of trailers, they've got to start looking at what's the next trailer they're going to put out. So I think the Skeleton Crew trailers are not far behind.
It can't be. Like, they got to start. Like, with yes. Acolyte, there had been rumors and there had been buzz around. Nothing super official, but we've had stuff about that show for like 2 years now.
Yeah, that's around. True.
With Skeleton Crew, it's been so dead.
Yeah, they really haven't put, which I'm leaning towards, and maybe I'm putting too much into my excitement on it, but I'm leaning towards that means it's going to be a bombshell. I mean, it's going to be incredible, and that's what I'm hoping for.
Me too. Because
otherwise, I have hyped this up for, I've wasted a year of my life hyping this up. And
it's going to be the Darth Vader show people that, are asking about.
I'm basically done. I'll stop podcasting if it's crap. Like, it's just.
Wait, it's just incredible to think that you're going to get Darth Jar Jar before Skeleton Crew. And Skeleton Crew has officially been on the radar for a couple of years.
That is kind of crazy to think about. Like, I've been asking for Darth Jar Jar for so long, and I finally get justified. And it turns out. You saw
the Phantom Menace in theaters. Before Skeleton Crew, Darth Jar Jar before Skeleton Crew.
I'm not saying I'm not disappointed. Like, I am disappointed that it's taken so long to get it out, but I think it's because they're really going to make this a banger. I think it's going to be a fantastic show. I think it's going to knock it out of the park.
I hope it's been made. I hope it's done.
If we get an announcement that it's canned, I'm done. I am hanging up the towel. No
it's
more.
Like those college essays, Wade.
Yeah.
Right at the night before.
Oh, too much experience doing that. That was rough. That was an easier time.
They're you know what? In November.
I'll say this. My essays that got A's all were written the night before I turned them in. The one essay I got a B on was the one that I actually like planned out and started writing like 2 weeks before. And that one was awful.
I just thought of a theory that works to what Alex is asking us about. It may not be done. It may be the next installment in those filmed by iPhone commercials. So they're just going to film it on somebody's iPhone and then release
You're killing
it and upload
me.
It.
You're killing me here. I think Skeleton Crew, I think we're going to get some more information about it. And I think it's going to be good. I genuinely do. But yeah, Rebuild the Galaxy. I am right now. That's my ringer for the year. Cause that the Darth Jar Jar, I have not stopped talking to friends about that.
I got a bone to pick with you guys about that one from last week. Talking junk about me. Like, I'm upset about Darth Jar Jar. I'm excited about that too. I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna have to go back and re-listen to the episodes to make sure that's actually the case.
I'm pretty sure you said.
I'm pretty sure Kevin said I was ridiculous for saying Darth Jar Jar could be a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not gonna see it. We're not gonna see Darth Jar and Acolyte.
No, I wouldn't expect Jar Jar to be an Acolyte.
Well,
do we
it
know
makes
how
sense for a Lego show?
Do we know how long? Lord. Gungans live? There's my question of the night for you guys.
We still want to find out.
I'm excited about it because it very much feels like the Marvel What If kind of idea, and that's going to be exciting. And opening a Lego store, new Lego sets, because it's a Lego show featuring like a character that people have been asking for forever. I think that's going to be a win. So
aren't they putting out a set that has him?
They have at least one. I saw that. The Dark Millennium Falcon that we see, the Dark Falcon. And that's where we actually see him like confront Jedi Bob and the other main characters. And he comes out and says, Misa gonna hurt you, sir. You know, that's...
Imagine being the leaker with that information and seeing a black Millennium Falcon with a Darth Jar Jar minifig and thinking, no one's going to believe this. Of all the things I've ever leaked.
No one's going to actually leak it.
Like, won't be believable.
Well,
why wouldn't they believe it?
They had leaked that the idea of the Dark Falcon before the show had been released or announced. And so, but they didn't announce it with the Darth Jar Jar. So
interesting that you're surprised.
It's almost I'm surprised. I think it would have been great for them to leak it because people would be flipping out about how many people have you talked to that are like Darth Jar Jar? How fun would that be?
Because
I've Kevin, you need to get out more. I don't believe that.
Let's ask Dylan real quick.
Lots of people think the Darth Jar Jar theory sounds like so much fun to explore. I mean, how crazy would that have been? And so for them to actually be... What I like about Rebuild the Galaxy, I think, is that it really does take the fans into account, both with officially naming that Jedi, the unnamed Jedi from the original Republic gunship. They officially have his name in the show or movie as Jedi Bob. But that's something that we as fans accredited to him. So, and then you get Darth Jar Jar added in, and you can tell this is a show or movie that is specifically for those of us fans who have been around for a while, you know? And that to me is like, that's awesome. It's rewarding to see those two things in there for that, you know, from that aspect. I think that's going to be so much fun. You know, that set is going to be purchased by me and built and probably displayed in the store. Because that's awesome. So that's about it on news. Something we didn't talk about. I have recently, taken on the endeavor of watching each of the Star Wars movies in order, but with Ron and Rachel and Penny. We were watching, they've got this really cool setup at their house where behind the TV, they've got like these backlights that light up. So like when you're seeing lightsaber battles and everything, the lights on the back of the wall are lighting up in the right colors and where the lightsaber swing. Yes, and
I want those so bad.
It's such a cool setup. And we went over the other night and I was like, hey, can we watch the Kenobi thing? Cause he had shown me what it looks like in a picture. And I was like, oh, I've got to see this in person. And so I was like, can we watch the Kenobi show? And he was like, yeah, we can. So he put the last episode on so I could see that final battle between Kenobi and Vader. Oh, it was life changing. And I was like, oh, sick. I've got to see all of these movies now in with this kind of lighting and everything. And then Rachel was like, weren't we going to watch all of the movies in order at some point? And I was like, yeah, we were. We had talked about it a while ago. We just never like actually started it. And because she had all these questions throughout the show, and I'm sitting here trying to explain this and explain that and everything. And I was like, it'd make more sense to watch the movie so I can answer these questions like as the movies unravel. And so she was like, well, I guess we can do that. And I was like, yeah. So of course I put on all of my like Star Wars pajamas and we went over last night, I think it was. And of course there were a lot of eye rolls, but I was so excited. I mean, this was just awesome. So we watched The Phantom Menace last night and we paused it a couple of times so she could ask questions and kind of get an understanding for the setting and everything. And I told Ron, I was like, because Ron was like, you know, we've seen these movies before. And I was like, you've never seen them with the Wade commentary. Like, he's like, oh, I'm so excited. This is an experience. And I said, it's a one in a lifetime kind of experience. So we had a lot of fun, though. We watched The Phantom Menace and next up is Attack of the Clones and so on and so forth until we get to The Rise of Skywalker. But that was absolutely a blast. And I told Rachel, I said, I've got a different outfit for every movie. Like, it's going to change every time. And so I'm going to see how old this gets. I'm going to see if we get to The Rise of Skywalker.
Well, you got to go full Jedi tunic at some point.
That will be The Rise of Skywalker. If we get there, it will be full Jedi garb. So anyway, the main topic of tonight is actually a documentary. I had stumbled across this a while ago myself, specifically the Lego episode of it. What is it? It's called the Toys That Made Us, or right? Isn't it The Toys That Made Us?
Yeah, that's it.
And it's talking, it's like each individual episode is maybe like, what, an hour long?
Mm-hmm.
Hour 15, something like that. And there are four episodes to each season, three seasons in total. And each episode breaks down like a different, you know, toy brand. So one's Star Wars, one's Barbie, G.I. Joe, He-Man, you know, Masters of the Universe. So on and so forth. And I had watched the Lego one a while back. And knowing my career shift going on, I decided I wanted to go back and rewatch the Lego one. But I didn't realize when I'd seen that one that there was also a Star Wars one talking about the history of Star Wars toys. And I thought, oh, this is kind of cool. So I decided to put it on and watch it. And I was really intrigued by how Star Wars toys, because you know some of the stories about like when the toys first rolled out with Kenner, you know, they had to give out like these certificates for Christmas so that kids could still have their toys coming, but they didn't quite have them out available yet. And so it kind of goes through that history of how Star Wars toys came to be. So real quick, just off the top of the conversation, what did you guys think about the documentary? Kevin, I'll go with you first.
So I have a different perspective on it than I think you two might have, because I've never really been much of a collector. I mean, I have some stuff, but like as a kid, it really wasn't central. It wasn't a pillar of my experience. So I don't have these deep rooted connections to these things. As an adult, I have some things that I think are cool, some gifts that have been given to me that you make up a small collection, but it's a different connection than what you guys brought to the episode. So for me, it was very educational. I've been very clear that one of my favorite things that this podcast has done is exposed me to different perspectives. The most interesting to me is the Star Wars OGs. What life was like before we had the prequels. It was just the three movies for some one movie at a time. And so it's always interesting to me to hear about their experience, particularly with the action figures and stuff, about what they did, right? And it's interesting to me because I think that that is why we have such an expansive universe. The old EU, even some of the, we don't have Filoni without these toys.
Sure.
All of it. So it was very educational and interesting for me, because I don't have that deep rooted connection to these things that a lot of other fans do.
Absolutely. Alex, what about you?
I love it. I love this episode in particular. I'm a big fan of the series. For me, it reminds me of the type of documentaries that you'd find with like the DVD releases of the original trilogy and eventually the prequel trilogy. And Kevin really hit, you know, one of the reasons that I like this episode in particular, the Star Wars one, is that it's so steeped in history. And I kind of found myself like unable to just stop once this episode was over. Like, thankfully I had, you know, more time to explore other episodes, and
sure,
I turned on the Barbie episode, and then later I turned on the G.I. Joe episode. I really appreciate the depth to the history. The folks that they brought on for the interviews are really, really great. They offer a lot of insights, from people who are designing the toys themselves, people making the decisions from a boardroom perspective. You really get a sense of how hands-on it is. It's really cool.
Right. Well, it was cool for me, like, growing up, Hasbro was kind of, I think Hasbro's had the rights to the toys for, and it said in the documentary, for a while. Like, growing up, when I was in starting to get into action figures and stuff, I think Hasbro had the rights at that point, if I'm remembering correctly. And it was interesting because then once I got deeper and deeper into Star Wars as I grew up, I had no idea what Kenner was, who they were, what they do. You know, I never really heard of them. And so it was really interesting, like, kind of finding out how some of the major toy companies at the time had turned Star Wars down for action figures. And that Kenner, which is a smaller Midwest company, picked it up and said, yeah, we'll run with it. And, you know, even to today, we've got the Kenner, the retro collection of action figures that, I mean, it's like every time new action figures come out, you get some in Black Series, you get most in the Vintage Collection, and then you get a lot in the retro Kenner collection, which is pretty freaking cool. So it's definitely interesting to see just kind of how much it's expanded, evolved over the years since, you know, even growing up. Like, I remember going to my grandparents' house. They actually had one of the original Kenner Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader with the lightsaber that's like in the arm. And I always thought, man, these aren't all that fun. Like, you know, the toys I have, all their limbs bend and the lightsabers are, you know, you can take them out of the hand and put a blaster in there, or, you know, stuff like that. So as a kid, I wasn't very interested in them just because of how much they had evolved over time. But looking back, like, I have retro collection now in my personal collection, just knowing a little bit more about the history of it. I don't have any of the actual original Kenner figures because a lot of those are crazy expensive. And if I'm going to buy figures, I'm going to buy the new versions of them. You know, the Vintage Collection, Retro Collection, if I really want to, and Black Series. But yeah, it was definitely a fascinating documentary to kind of see the history of how these Star Wars toys kind of came to be. And then seeing, you know, after they released them and they got them out on the shelves, like how quickly they disappeared. And they had to constantly come up with new and different kinds of stuff that we don't actually see in the films. Like, there were all kinds of like support craft and blaster ships and stuff like that, you know, that weren't at any point ever in the films. But, you know,
it's the original, sorry, it's like the original expanded universe I had in my notes.
Yeah. Yeah, so exactly. Exactly. So yeah, it was definitely a fascinating watch. Highly, highly recommended on my end. You know, I've been collecting for a little while. I've enjoyed Star Wars toys since I was like 4. But like seriously collecting and like putting stuff on display, that kind of thing, that's really only been within the last 5-6 years, you know, outside of Lego. Lego is the big one. And it was really cool because the Lego documentary episode also covered a lot of the Star Wars Lego stuff, because that's a huge part. You know, now that's like, if it's not their number one selling theme, it very well may be. Like, I can't imagine it's not in the top 3 in terms of themes. Every store I go to and I ask, hey, what's your top selling theme here? It's Star Wars. Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. So Star Wars toys has had a huge impact on, you know, collectors and the toy world as a whole. So it's been really cool. Definitely cool seeing that.
Yeah, and I can especially understand your interest in it because, you know, as I'm watching that episode in particular, I'm thinking, you know, how much of the toy store experience for us, you know, in the late 90s and the early 2000s was shaped by what was happening in the late 70s and early 80s. You know, what yep. did George show with the success of the movies and the success of the toy lines? And that's one of the interesting things. Like, I think the documentaries, you know, paint, especially as you watch them in succession, when you kind of like see the things that lend from one to the next, from Barbie to G.I. Joe and then into the Star Wars toys, and then you notice how a lot of the other episodes all kind of show that their popularity, like the variety of toy lines, starts in the mid 80s after the Star Wars movies have wrapped up. And you kind of like notice these little things that happen and how Star Wars had such an ability to shape the toy market, and then once it's gone, all of these other characters and franchises came to just fill the void. It's pretty interesting.
Absolutely. What was I going to say? I had something on my mind and I totally drew a blank. it's been really cool. Like, I always wondered where the 3 3/4 inch size for like the vintage collection and like really all of the Star Wars collect, you know, it's had different names through time, the Power of the Force and, you know, all of that, you know, growing up, there were all kinds of different brands or series or lines, I should say, but where that 3 3/4 inch, cause I always hear people talk about 3 3/4 inch. I'm like, where does that come from? Like what was the determining factor that needed to be the size for the one they wanted to release these action figures at in a size where they could have an actual playset ship that they could put them in. And obviously with like G.I. Joes and Barbies, it's a little big to be doing that. And then also knowing that the CEO or, you know, I forget what his title was, if it was the CEO or not, of Kenner, literally put his hand out with his index finger and his thumb. And he said, that big. That's how big we, because they were discussing how big they wanted to make them. And that's literally what he did. And they measured it. And sure enough, it was 3 3/4. So it was really cool to know this, you know, semi-useless piece of information, but it's something that I've always wondered about, like where that came from. So it was really fascinating to see that. And, you know, seeing how, you know, the craze really developed into what we have now, obviously a lot of us will buy stuff online now. And, you know, people are even going to the extent of pre-ordering. I mean, that certificate was kind of like, I don't know if they did stuff like that back then very often. So that's kind of like one of the first examples of people pre-ordering, you know? Mm-hmm. So stuff like that, that's really neat to see kind of where that started, where it came from. You talking about toy stores when we were growing up, did you guys have KB Toys?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Dude, Kevin, did you?
They were around, but I never, like, not near me.
Oh, we had a KB Toy outlet store. Right around the corner from our house. And I remember going there, and when I had first gotten into Lord of the Rings, that was actually where I went to get a lot of my Lord of the Rings figures, which I still have most of. And that was always fun. Dude, those stores were a blast. Like that and Toys R Us, I absolutely loved them. Like not that Walmart or Target aren't cool, but when you got stores that are dedicated for, you know, people my age at that time, that's awesome. I mean, not to say that there weren't adult collectors in there at times maybe getting stuff, but, you know, as a kid, you look at this store and you say, this is a store for me. Like, this is where I belong. I could spend hours and hours in one of those stores. And, of course, I could now because I go to all kinds of toy stores and, you know, I tell Penny, hey, if you don't want to hang out, you can go somewhere else and do something with the kids or whatever, or leave them here with me and go, you know, get your nails done. Cause I'll be here for a while and I'll spend hours just looking through the figures. And, you know, especially cause a lot of the toy stores that are like individually owned nowadays, they've got like comics mixed in and a lot of it's discontinued toys or, you know, toy lines from my childhood and prior. So I can really spend some time looking at some of this stuff, especially when they've got like some of those collector items sitting behind glass cases. And, you know, their stock is always revolving. So they're always getting new stuff in that I haven't seen in person before. So I still today love toy stores. But as a kid, it was really cool going there and seeing, like, the Lord of the Rings toys that I wanted. And, you know, all of the Star Wars toys. And if I had a $10 budget and I could buy a $7 figure, you know, having to debate, do I want Obi-Wan? Do I want Anakin? You know, what do I have in my collection? What don't as a kid? You know, what don't I have? And it's crazy to think how into toys adults are nowadays. I mean, we talk to a lot of different, you know, friends on Twitter and such, and people get crazy excited for, you know, Black Series releases and speculating as to what the next Black Series figure will be. You know, stuff like that. Like, people love it. So it's not just kids now. It's really kids and adults, because a lot of adults grew up loving these toys and have really grown into not getting rid of them, you know? So
yeah, I looked and saw during the documentary, there was like a KB Toys or maybe like a Kmart advertisement, like a print advertisement with the price of the Millennium Falcon in like 1977 or 78 as $24 and some change. So I put that into an inflation calculator to see what the price of that would be today. And it was $128. And that seems right. But that also explains like how that was still such a kind of an out of reach toy for a lot of families back at the time, like $100 plus toy. I feel like back then that was like a $300 Lego set now.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. It kicks me, or I kick myself, I should say, to look at like all of the toys I used to have and to know what I sold them for at different points. You know, some of them I held on to, like a lot of the main character Star Wars action figures I had as a kid, I still have in a box somewhere. And same with the Lord of the Rings ones. You know, there are some toys that I did really hold on to. But, you know, looking at all of the ones that I got rid of and then going to the store now and seeing what they're worth now, that's insane to me. I cannot believe that some of these toys are worth as much and would have had no idea. I mean, there are some random characters out there that go for a great price just because for whatever reason it was a limited run or the only time we've had that character in an action figure and so on and so forth. And I kick myself sometimes for getting rid of certain toys that I had as a kid. And same with the Lego sets. Lego sets are ridiculous to look at. You know, when you look at retired sets that you can get your hands on with, I mean, the Star Wars original Cloud City Lego set, if it's sealed in box and the box is in good condition, goes for about $12,000. That's ridiculous for a box with plastic blocks, but that's what it goes for, you know? So it's crazy to see some of the value behind some of this. And I get why people sometimes, you know, buy it just to invest in it. You know, you kind of play the gamble game of when I buy this, is this going to be like the only time this gets released? Is it going to be, you know, the only time these minifigures are seen in any of the sets, stuff like that. But man, I don't know what I would do if I ever came across a sealed inbox Cloud City set. Obviously not buy it because I can't afford it, but if it was ever gifted to me, I'm never
proud of that. The garage and the tag sales for the unsuspecting seller.
That's exactly what I need to do.
$50
be able to afford it, Wade.
Unopened Lego sets.
I don't think they'd let me spend $12,000 on a set.
But with
that'd be kind printing. Of a crazy investment. But yeah, it just kills me to see. Now, what for each of you guys? I want to know. What is your favorite toy in your current collection? And it doesn't have to be an action figure. It could be a Funko. It could be a Lego set. It doesn't have to be, you know, specifically Kenner or Hasbro or anything like that. But if you were to pick your favorite off of your shelf, and I'm going to kick myself for this, you can only pick one. So I want to know what your favorite out of your collection is currently.
I'll start. I have the Millennium Falcon from The Force Awakens, the Lego set. So that was from 2015. I don't have it up. I don't have it assembled anywhere. I disassembled it when I moved last year. So it's presently still unassembled in the original box. But that's one of my favorite collectibles. I don't really have much left in the realm of Legos or any toy, anything like that. But that's definitely my favorite. So that's some sentimental value. When I was younger, you know, the Lego Millennium Falcons were hard to come by. So a few years ago, when I expressed interest in like assembling a Lego Falcon again, and my parents had tracked it down, I think for Christmas for over Facebook Marketplace. So yeah, that one.
That's awesome.
Out.
Do you remember what year, what release it was? What version?
It was the 2015 one. So the first one with Rey and Finn and all them. Yeah.
From Force Awakens. I gotcha.
Yeah. Yep.
You may have said that. I don't remember. I was looking to see which my favorite one was. But all right, Kevin, What is your favorite?
Well, I'm on the spot here. I was not ready to go. So I just made a decision. Cool. So my collection is based on just things that I think are cool, right? It's not based on the present, past, future value of it. It's just, do I think it's cool or not? Do I want to have it on display? Because, like, I don't know about you guys. I don't play with the stuff. It's just like Woody in Toy Story 2. It's for display only. So my
Me neither. I can't imagine playing with these.
No,
toys.
You just do it with Gene. It's okay.
Oh yeah. that's my excuse.
My favorite is going to be my concept series Darth Vader. I bought it a couple years ago. It's a, as far as I understand, it's a Disney World or Disney Parks exclusive. Bought it with my brother. He has one, but I just think it looks really cool. Darth Vader slash Anakin's my favorite character. Mm-hmm. So just love it. There's a nostalgic connection to it. There's a personal connection to it, and I think it just looks really cool. It's a good conversation piece because everybody knows what Darth Vader looks like.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of people that would look at this collection and not even know what concept art is, what it represents. Right. So it's a cool conversation piece.
That's awesome. My favorite. This one was hard. So I wanted to go with the Obi-Wan Kenobi Legacy Collection lightsabers with the three different versions of his lightsabers. Just because Obi-Wan Kenobi is my favorite character and I've always wanted to own his lightsabers in a form that works. So to have all three versions in one awesome collector's box, super awesome. But I'm not going to put it as my favorite. My actual favorite is the one I got. It's sitting on the shelf behind me. You can't see it right now, but I got a Ruby's costume version of Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber from Attack of the Clones. And that was the first lightsaber, technically the first lightsaber I ever got as a kid was Darth Maul's double-bladed lightsaber. But because of how big it was, my parents didn't want me to swing it around in the house and everything, so I really didn't get to play with that one all that much. But the Ruby's costume one, I don't know if you guys have seen these lightsabers, but unlike the collapsible ones that like lock into place and have the belt clip that Hasbro released, these ones have like the really clear, flimsy looking blade. You can't really use it to hit a lot or you're going to break the blade. And I definitely, like when I open the blade up and extend it, you can see all of the bends in the blade where I've hit things before. Like it doesn't extend very well. So, but when I moved back out here, I was going through a box of my stuff from when I was a kid and I realized that lightsaber was still in there. And that was so cool to me to stumble across this. This lightsaber was a must for me when I was a kid, because at the time, I got a Star Wars costume. This was my first Star Wars costume, and it was Anakin in his pod racing getup. I had the helmet and everything, the mask and, you know, the costume. And I was so excited to have it, but I told my parents, I was like, I really need his lightsaber. And they're like, yeah, but do you? And looking back as an adult, I'm like, that wasn't costume accurate. Like I shouldn't have done that. But as a kid, I was like, no, I got to have the lightsaber. So they got me the lightsaber. And I mean, I put that costume on all the time until I outgrew it. I was thrilled to have a costume that looked like something from Star Wars and to have a lightsaber to play with. So that was my very first of many lightsabers to come. And that one is sitting on my Anakin slash Vader shelf on the bookshelf behind me. Just because that's a piece from my childhood that I will never get rid of. So that's going to be my favorite for tonight.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you guys haven't checked out the documentary, it is on Netflix. So if you have a Netflix account or your friend has a Netflix account, go over to your friend's house and watch it. It's definitely worth it if you're into any of these toy lines that they do, even if you're not, even if you're familiar with them. I think it's worth it just to kind of see how the toy industry was at the time when these different toys were coming out, stuff like that. Definitely fascinating to see how they've evolved over the years. But yeah, the Lego and Star Wars one, highly recommend. They were a lot of fun to watch. I think that's about it for tonight. I did have another thing I wanted to mention on the podcast, and I had mentioned it earlier this week. I officially got accepted into the Rebel Legion.
So, dude, this is the first I'm hearing this.
Alex, we're friends on Facebook. I posted it on Facebook.
Wow.
That one I didn't text anyone about it. I just posted it around social media. So
we're breaking news.
That's on you, because I posted.
Wow.
It.
Sucks, Dylan.
Phil Dylan in. Yeah, I was really excited. I got the email this morning saying you are officially a member. Your costume has been approved as quote formal. So I am official. They've got like the edited photo where they do like some kind of background, and then they light up my lightsaber and everything. And I was so ecstatic when I saw that. And of course I get approved just in time to move to Chattanooga and start the process over again. So I got to go do it in Tennessee now. Hopefully they have some kind of like transfer program where I can be like, hey, I just got approved over here. You know, do you guys just transfer my membership to the new base or what? But yeah, so I was really excited that my Jedi costume got approved. And now that it's officially approved, I have new costume projects that I'm working on. So
you should have to join the dark side and become a Sith. No,
I do have a concept
and
idea.
Join the 501st.
I have a concept idea together for a Sith version as well. I'm not that's kind of on the back burner. It's like the last costume I want, because I really don't want to do a lot of dark side stuff, but it is there. My goal is eventually to have a costume in each of the costuming groups. So, but step one is complete. The one I've always dreamed of growing up has been accomplished. So this, when I say this has been a really good week, this has been a really, really good week. I got to put my notice in at work. I accepted a new job so I can go play with Legos for money. And I'm officially a Jedi. That's a win.
That's great.
It's a lot of news to me.
I think, Wade, tell me if you think I'm wrong here, but the hesitancy to join the Siths, because you worried you might like it too much, might feel too good.
Yeah, that's definitely what it is for me. No question about it. I the temptation might be too strong. Yep. So hit us up on social media. We are on Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, Facebook, all those fun places. We are on TikTok as well. And we have an email address, recordsoftherepublic@gmail.com. Yeah, for now. We'll see. See if
it's while you can.
But hit us up. Let's connect. We love chatting Star Wars with you guys, and really with anyone who wants to talk to us. I'm always game to talk Star Wars. But hit us up. Leave us a review. If you listen to us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to us, leave us a review. Hit that subscribe button, and we will see you next time. As always, may the Force be with you, and remember, this is the way.